the Rugby Union Podcast.
Hello and welcome to William Hill's Six Nations Podcast. My name is Michael Casey and I'm joined on the line by former England international Jeff Proben as we preview the three round two fixtures of the 2014 Six Nations. Jeff, week one's out of the way. Plenty of storylines have emerged and a few front runners maybe not looking as quite good as they maybe did last week and a couple of the underdogs looking a little bit better.
What a cracking start for Six Nations it was as well. You know, the first game, Italy-Wales, we expected a points fest, and I'll be honest, I think most of the Welsh public did as well, and it never happened. It never happened. You know, it's just an eight-point difference for Wales from that game. It puts their chances of being Six Nations champions, if it comes down to a points decision, pretty much back a long way, because the likelihood that other teams may beat Italy by more than 8 points, or even the points difference with Scotland could be very vital nowadays for who is champion and who's not.
Yeah, certainly, and that has kind of been noted in the price of the outrights. They are still favourites for the tournament, 15-8 the Welsh, but it's not quite as clear as it was last week. The French, after their victory over England, are 2-1, and Ireland, who were the studio fancy, are now into 7-2. I think we'll kick off by talking about Ireland and, of course, Wales. This is obviously the biggest game of the weekend. There's a little bit of added needle to this game. Not only the fact that we're looking at possibly two of the winners of the tournament, but the fact that there's a bit of perhaps bitterness or supposed bitterness in the media between Warren Gatland and Brian O'Driscoll as he was left out of the third and final Lions Tour test this summer. And perhaps there's a added will for the Irish to want to get one back over the Welsh.
I agree with the added will thing. I don't think there'll be any bitterness. I think that, you know, the reality is that Brian O'Driscoll's been around on the scene for a long time. He knows that selections sometimes go your way and sometimes don't. And there will be a lot of animosity amongst the crowd, the Irish crowd, certainly in the Aviva. But I think as far as the players are concerned, they'll try and give Brian the best opportunity to state his case and say, you know, Yabu sucks for you. This is what you missed by leaving me out. But, you know, the Welsh side are a good side. They've stuck with the same players they had last week. And despite the stuttering start against the Italians, they still won the game. You know, you've got to give them their due. They still won the game. First try was lucky, it has to be said. The second try was very good. Jamie Roberts doing what he does well and creating the space and opening up for Scott Williams to go in. And then, obviously, the Italians had their luck with the interception, but they scored a good try as well. So there were lots of aspects of the game when you watched it that you thought to yourself, how does this work out for next week with Ireland? I think that the Irish forwards certainly performed better against the Scottish forwards than the Welsh forwards did against the Italians. That may make a difference in how the backs play. Obviously, the two big wins for the Welsh with Cuthbert and North are a big plus. With Trimble coming into the Irish side and staying in the Irish side, we think, for this week, is going to be a big thing. But young Dave Carney is not that experienced, and he was a bit under pressure last week. So it'll be interesting to see how he goes this week.
Yeah, I have to agree. I thought that some of the debutants so far gave really impressive performances. I thought Chris Henry, who's obviously kind of been roped in as the cover for Sean O'Brien, he didn't look out of place at all, did he? And I thought Luke Marshall in midfield, he held his own and didn't look out of place against alongside Brian O'Driscoll.
No, not at all. And, you know, there's going to be a big, big battle in the back row with Henry there and obviously Sam Warburton coming back for the Irish side. It's that area of the field is going to be very, very physical. We're going to see, you know, Fatalufa as well against Jamie Heaslip. It's not going to be a place for the faint-hearted, and it's going to be a cracking game. You've got to look at it, I think, but across the board, particularly with Paul O'Connell coming back for the Irish, for me, I just think the Irish just pinch it. They'll have the thing of playing at home as well in front of that Aviva crowd. It's going to be very, very big for the Irish. And, you know, they have the emotion. They want O'Driscoll. They have their home crowd. They've got their Six Nations off to a good start. A bit stuttering at the start against Scotland, but then they turned it round and they scored some good tries. Carney's try was very, very good. You saw the way they played, and Trimble's try was a well-worked move, creating the overlap and Trimble going around the outside quite easily. I just think this Irish side, as much as I think the Welsh side have got a bit in the tank still and need to step up, I think the Irish side also have the ability. I think it'll be a close game. I think it'll probably be something like 21-18, something like that, around that sort of score margin in favour of Ireland.
Yeah, unsurprisingly then, this is priced up the closest of the weekend's three fixtures. Ireland are made favourites at 8-11. The obviously home field advantage plus the performances last week make the bookies' choice as favourites, which is interesting given that Wales are still a shorter price for the tournament outright. Wales are available at 6-5. The draw, which sometimes overlooked, at 18-1, is available as well. The handicap then, if you take 2 points off Ireland, so Ireland -2, that's 10-11. Wales the same price at +2. Do you think it's maybe just worth sticking with the Irish on the outrights and not getting too involved in any of the handicap betting?
Yeah, I think that. I also think it's also worth that dodgy 10 on the draw again. I mean, we were only 2 points out last week.
We came close, didn't we?
with the France-England, you know. It only needed a conversion to go slightly awry, and we would have been in with that. So it's worth the dodgy 10 on the draw there as well.
An interesting one. We have actually a market called the handicap tie, which basically, if you take 2 points off the winners, you end up, obviously, you're left with the end result. That's 16-1, which would, of course, landed last week. So the handicap tie may be worth looking at as well.
Yeah.
I've got a couple of stats from this game, which is just looking back at Ireland's games in the Six Nations since 2012. They've actually led at half-time in 15 of the last 21 games and just 6 of their 21 second halves. On that logic, do you think Ireland to be leading at half-time at 17-20 could be a weigh-in?
It could be a good bet, yeah. You know, they play with a lot of passion and a lot of effort. And the Welsh are notoriously slow starters. They always start slowly and then build up. So, yeah, it's a good bet. The Irish to get in front, and then it'll be a fight back and defence for the second half.
A second bet I'd like to come to is one that we mentioned quite a bit on these closer games, but I think this weekend more than ever it's got to be looked at with some respect. You've got the 1-5 point winning margin. Ireland to win the game by 1-5 points is 7-2. That seems like a big old price, Jeff.
I think that's a good bet. That's a good bet because this is going to be. The Welsh have got a very, very good defence. Where Sean Edwards has been defensive coach there now for a number of years. He's got them playing a pattern that works well with them. They don't concede many tries and they don't concede many penalties either. They're quite a strong side. One of the reasons that Warren Gatland is asking for clarification is because of the number of penalties that were given away last week by the front row in the game against Italy. So he's asking for clarification from the IRB, not from the referee himself, but from the guy who's in charge of the referees at the IRB. He feels that in some ways Wales were a bit hard done by, but you know, it shows that their confidence in their defence, their confidence in their play, that they won't give away the penalties. I do think that this is going to be a close game. I think both these sides are quite evenly matched with strength going through them in roughly the same sort of places. So it's whichever way it pans out, it will be a very close finish. And, I just think the advantage of playing at home gives Ireland that little edge, and that's why I said I think it'd be 21-18, a 3-5 point difference.
Yeah, very good. So that's 7-2 for Ireland by 1-5 points. You can take a little bit more safety if you wanted Ireland by 1-12, similar bet, but a bit more room for manoeuvre. That's 11-8. We haven't got prices live now, Jeff, but I wouldn't mind talking about a couple of potential try scorers. Of course, all these markets will go live before kickoff. One guy who I thought will be a big price, and he scored last weekend, and he always seemed to be kind of at the back of the driving breakdowns, the back of the scrums, naturally given his position. And he did get over, as I said, and it looked like a try-scoring threat and a couple of other times. And that was Jamie Heaslip as an anytime try-scorer.
Yeah. There's him, obviously. He's there. But also Rory Best, because it was a bit of a dispute between the two of them when they got up from that driving mall, who actually scored, wasn't it? You know?
Not surprising, a front row disputing that he wanted his try. You know, they're rare enough to come by, aren't they?
Well, listen, if you're close in there, you've got to put your hand on the ball somewhere, you know.
So
you've got to look at that. Yeah, he's also playing good rugby. He's good. He's getting around the field well. He's taking a lot of contact. He's stepping up to the plate, considering the fact that Sean O'Brien was out of it. You know, Sean O'Brien being out for the season, the Irish needed one of their back rows to step up and take that mantle, and Heaslip's done that.
So yeah, recommendations for Jamie Heaslip and Rory Best in anytime try scorers, both of which I'd imagine would be big old prices and well worth the value.
I think so as well, yeah. And you know, judging by the way that Cian Healy had that run, you never know. A 60-yard run down the middle of the field.
Is this just the front row union sticking up for each other, Jeff? Are you?
Well, you know, I was thinking about getting throwing him out of the front row union for doing that, but you know, what can you say? It was one hell of a run, and if he showed he does have the skills to be able to beat players, it could be worth a dodgy fiver.
Okay, thank you very much then. The second game of Saturday's fixtures sees England go to Murrayfield. Shudder. But surely, despite the historical chance, you know, Scotland kind of show up every 10 years and put a beating on the English at Murrayfield, despite the form. Can't see that happening this weekend, Jeff. They were pretty underwhelming last weekend with perhaps the odd personal performance omitted. Like, I thought Alex Dunbar had a pretty good game in midfield, but overall I thought the Scots were slightly underwhelming, and apart from a poor 10 minutes and a last minute conceded try, I thought England overall acquitted themselves reasonably well against the French.
I was pleasantly surprised by the English, to be truthful. I thought, you know, there was much talk about this big forward confrontation. We spoke about it as well. And I actually thought the England forwards dominated the French, mainly in most of the areas of the field. There were a few problems at the scrums that allowed the French to get back in. We won't have those problems this week. Low, the tight head prop for the Scots, really struggled last week. You'd expect him to struggle again this week. I think that Cole will have an easier time against Ryan Grant. Instead of playing against Domingo, who is 5'8" and Cole is 6'3", it's always going to be difficult for a prop forward in those sort of height differences with this new binding law where you have to bind before you actually engage in the scrum. It's very, very difficult to get your feet in the right position if you are that much taller than your opposition. So I expect the England pack to be stronger this week than they were last week. And as I say, I thought they were very, very good last week. Scotland, Hogg played very, very well for Scotland. And, you know, they play very powerful games. Sean Lamont taking the ball up and doing big hits. They will miss the fact that Maitland isn't going to be around, because I would have expected that Maitland would have maybe taken over that fullback role and Hogg move into the fly half role. They can't do that now because Maitland's out with injury. So we're probably going to see Max Evans playing on the wing instead. The Scots have, unfortunately, they play some good rugby, but they're not scoring points. And the way they play is, you know, playing up in Murrayfield, there's a lot of talk about the pitch. That shouldn't really worry either side. As a rugby player, you're used to playing in mud. You should be used to playing in mud, and you should be able to cope with it. If the Murrayfield pitch breaks up, I still expect England to play a tighter, closer game and power play the game. And I expect England to win by a good 10 to 15 points.
Yeah, interesting. And I have to say I agree about the Scottish forwards. I thought that the Irish back row really dominated them last week, and I thought the front five were left wanting on occasion. But you made some points. He put some impressive enough phases together, but then suffered turnovers at crucial points. With regards to the betting, England, unsurprisingly, 1-6 favourites, 22-1 the draw, 9-2 Scotland. The handicap is set at 10 points. You said you think the margin of victory around about 10 to 15 points, so I guess England minus 10 would be your selection with regards to betting on the spread.
Yeah, because, you know, the problem is you can't see where Scotland are going to score. They don't have any real pace out on the wings. They have good young centres, yes, but then so does England. Lufa Burrell showed that he is actually more than capable of playing at that international level. Took his chance well, scored a good try, defended superbly well against Ballestrade, and we saw the England backline actually be more cohesive than it's been for a while. Owen Farrell had probably his best game for England at number 10 so far last week, despite the fact we lost. And we had a lot of disruption, losing Johnny May after only a few minutes with a broken nose. Prior to that, we'd seen May actually come into the midfield, move around the ball. England's backline actually looked more willing to attack and use the options that were available for them. France are France. We always understand with France that given the opportunity, they do have very good hands and they do have players who can can run and score. And they don't use the power play to do it. They use skill, speed, and sleight of hand.
Yep, and England go with the same 15 that started last weekend. So there's a vote of confidence there for young Jack Knowles, who had a kind of really contrasting game. You know, he did things that went really well. Obviously, he started the game by dropping the kickoff and a couple of phases later the French win. But I've just got some stats that kind of were tweeted by England Rugby following their sort of analysis session. And it says that he made 14 tackles without a miss. That's the second highest in the team. 18 carries, six of which broke the gain line, and one clean break. So I think there was definitely reason for to celebrate there for Jack Knowles. I mean, I would have maybe liked to have seen Anthony Watson included this week, give us a bit of a mix-up. But I think the fact that they've stuck with him and not just dropped him after one, not bad performance, but certainly mixed performance.
I think that's a harsh comment, Michael, I'll be honest with you. The drop ball from the kickoff, it was really down to Joe Launchbury and the forwards, because they lifted it. Launchbury was lifted up where he expected the ball to be, and it literally, Noel would have only seen that ball a fraction of a second before it actually reached him, because he was expecting Launchbury to catch it, and he was, as a winger, they're just standing there really to make up the numbers. They're not involved in that taking of the ball to kick off. That's always left to the forwards unless it's kicked long. So he was a bit unfortunate with that. I thought he did play quite well. I thought he covered quite well. He got around the field, and he seems, and he does carry the ball well. In many ways, I think that England releasing those stats are making a statement. They're saying, look, he wasn't as bad as has been highlighted by a number of people in the press, and he didn't miss that kickoff. This is the facts. This is what he did in the game. And I think he did enough to say that he should be included. Also, you look at it, and one of the aspects about Stuart Lancaster is whenever he is gone with a selection, he has given it time to bed in. This thing, you know, he did it with Tomkin and Billy Twelvetrees through the autumn internationals, played them in each, despite the fact that Tomkin looked out of his depth, to be honest, at international level. What's happened now is these new boys he's put in there together have actually shown a lot more promise and look like they could be a serious contenders for the World Cup squad going forward. I expect, obviously, Tuilagi to come back in the England team when he's fit. But I think the combinations that they've got out there and the fact that those two wingers that we have, May and we have Noel now, and we have two proper wingers rather than having to force Mike Brown to play on the wing with Alex Gould at fullback, gives options to England in terms of their attack. And I expect that attack to really put Scotland under pressure.
Okay, perhaps me being overly critical, talking in my pocket there, because I liked the 25-1 about Anthony Watson being the top English try scorer last week, but there we go. Maybe another contender for the English midfield, if what's been released in the news today is to be believed, about Sam Burgess possibly being switched to the 15-a-side code later in the year ahead of the Rugby World Cup, but that's perhaps another talking point. Back to the betting, England to win by 13 or more points is odds again, 6-5 about that price. Is that something that appeals, Jeff?
Well, yeah, as I say, I expect them to be by 15 points, 10-15, so they fit into that. That fits into the group, so yeah, that's a good bet.
Yeah, and incidentally, England to win by 11-15 points is 9-2. I agree, I think it was an impressive performance last week, and some notable mentions had to go. I thought Bini Vilapola carried the ball fantastically, and I was slightly disheartened when both him and Danny Kerr came off, but then I thought particularly Ben Morgan, just, you know, he was superb when he came off the bench, so it wasn't a bad substitution at all, even if the guys that made way seemed like they were doing quite well at the time of substitution.
I've got to say that, in all honesty, I thought that the Kerr substitution, you could argue both ways, but I think the Vinopola, the problem with Billy is his fitness levels. He was looking a bit knackered when he was actually substituted off, and Ben Morgan was an absolutely superb replacement for him, because he carried on in the same vein that Billy had been playing. So I think, you know, the use of substitutes is not something that I agree with, coming from the good old days when you only got substituted if you were dead. They're used more now, and you saw that Billy Vinopola was falling off of his game a little bit at that stage, and that's why he was substituted. So I think that was a good substitution. Danny Kerr is another matter. I think Danny Kerr was proving a point that, having been left out for quite a while now, he got his chance, and he took it with both hands.
Yeah, really impressive performance from the former Leeds Carnegie Academy man. We'll move on to the final game of the weekend then, and this is the least competitive, and at least with regards to the betting, 1-33 France. Italy, despite last week's performance, 11-1 and the handicap 20 points. I think there's one person I'd like to start us off with talking about, and it's got to be the boy Michel Campagnaro, 20 years old, from Treviso, the centre playing in just his third game for Italy. Scored twice and, well, he looked the business, didn't he?
He certainly did, and you know, the Italians, as I say, despite the fact that I believe that Wales started slowly and didn't play as well as they could, the Italians put their game together very well. Gori is a world-class scrum half. They've got Castro Giovanni in the front row. They've got talent around there. I mean, Luke McLean at fullback never does anything wrong. He's solid. He plays a sensible game. The Italians are not a bad side. And, you know, I've got to be honest, this French side, first win in eight, was it there? That this is their third win in 11 games. Their first win in four or five games. They're not the confident side that will run over Italy. I expect this game to be reasonably close, partly because the Italians are coached by Jack Brunel, who is the ex-Perpignan coach. He knows all the French players. I think that Saint-André will be wiping his brow, thinking he got out of the jail last week with that last-minute try. There were certainly a lot of things that went wrong with the French display. I think Bastereau was a shadow of his former self as a player. Looked, dare I say, a bit too fat. And for a prop to be saying that is something to worry about. he looked a bit too fat and a bit too slow and a bit off the pace. I thought Thicco is his name, the guy who came.
Yeah, Gael Thicco, the Toulouse centre.
Yeah, I think he will probably start this week and... you know, he's an exciting prospect. The prospect of him and Wesley Fofana playing together is quite interesting and good. But I expect that this game will actually be a 10-point margin between them. I think France will win it, but I don't think it will be a cricket score.
Yeah, I agree. I think that the 20 points on the handicap is rather disrespectful to the Italians on the back of last week. So you can back Italy plus 20 points at 10-11. And, I mean, you can get further involved with the handicaps. We've got first and second half handicaps. You know, you could back Italy plus 3 points in the first half at 7-2. But if we look at the sort of winning margins bets and various others, there's other ways where I think you basically take the handicap down about Italy. I agree. I think they could keep this one to within 10 points and you're getting paid out at a bigger price on the shorter handicaps. But if we stick with the plus 20 at 10-11, I think that's a very good starting place. I think this game could also be quite high scoring. You know, I questions about the French defence at the time. And Italy certainly proved that they could get forward. And, you know, not only with the tries that they scored, but they've got some talent with the boot there as well. I think penalties will be punished if the French are indisciplined at any point. So I think that it could be quite a high-scoring affair.
Yeah, I agree. You know, it's interesting because the French were the ones who suffered really from the goal-kicking side of things. They always use the scrum half, and he didn't kick that well, did he? The Doucin, who plays for Toulouse, he missed two or three penalties, which would have actually given France a bit of breathing space when they're right at the start of the game when they were leading quite 13 points within the space of like 20 minutes. But he also had a couple of penalties that he missed, and that could have taken France that little bit beyond. But so from an England point of view, I'm glad he missed. But if you're looking at the Italians, you've got to say that they'll be thinking that they can kick their points. Alain kicks very well. McLean's a good goal kicker. Even Gori has been known to kick goals occasionally. So, yeah, I to be honest, I don't expect it to be massively high scoring, I'll be honest with you when I say this, because I think the French will want to score a lot of points, given that they lost to Italy last year. But I can't see the Italians' defence is quite solid now, the way they're playing. I expect this to be a pretty cagey game, to be honest with you, to start with, and the points will come in the second half.
OK, perhaps shy away from the overall points tally then, but the highest scoring half to be the second half is backable at 4-6. Another bet that might interest you, Jeff, given the fact that we do think you said around about 10 points, so the France to win by 1-12 at 11-4, that's a big old return on your stake.
Yeah, I think that's a good. I think that's a good bet. That is a good bet. I think, you know, France. There were lots of areas in the game against England where France were opened up occasionally, where England could have scored more points. I think the Italians. It will, be, as I say, it will be a cagey game. The Italians could have scored another try when Parisi went in. A judge to knock forward. It has to be said. So the Italians are capable of scoring tries. They're a bit lucky with that interception one, but it's going to be that sort of game. The Italians and the French, there's a lot of local knowledge by both camps. There's a lot of Italians play in the French leagues. As I say, Jack Brunel used to coach Perpignan. He's taken over Italy. He's changed the way that Italy play their game. He's changed the dynamic since what's his name? The South African left. And he's made the Italians a more rounded team. And he's getting the Italians to play in a French style. So it's going to be interesting to see how really Italy have progressed in the last year since that big win against France, and how France feel about that. And I think this will be a good game to watch, actually. It'll be a good game to watch. But I do believe that the French will just be that little bit too strong for them, and I expect the 10 points.
OK, then, so that 1-12 winning margin at 11-4 appealing. Just as I say, we will have try scorer markets live closer to kickoff. A guy that we've mentioned who we think could start this week, and I think he could possibly feature on the wing rather than the centre, and that's teenager Gael Ficou from Toulouse. I think as an anytime try scorer, saw him score last week, particularly if he starts and he's on the wing, he has got to be worth a mention. And of course, Michel Campagnero, after the form he demonstrated last week, you wouldn't want to perhaps bet against that youngster.
No. I think the French guy is the guy, to be honest. I thought the one aspect of him, he came on, yes, the opportunity was created for him, but he did take it well. He threw the dummy, he held the ball in both hands. He drew the player. He did all the right things. He drew the player, threw the dummy. As the player went with the dummy, he stepped inside him and carried on. So he shows that he's obviously a very skillful player. I would expect him to be a try scorer this week. Whether he's the first try scorer or not, I don't know.
Well, you'd be able to back him any time, I imagine. I can remember watching Gael Ficou as an 18-year-old against Leicester in the Heineken Cup. I think we're going back to sort of October 2012 time, and he scored just before half time, a superb break, and it kind of announced him on the European stage. And yeah, he's certainly been demonstrating more of that form towards the international side, and we saw it last week. I would like to finish off then, Jeff, now that we've gone through all the weekend games, looking at the outrights once again. We've still got to be on Ireland, haven't we? They're still there at 7-2. We fancied them last week. 11-2 they were pre-tournament, now cutting to 7-2 on the back of last weekend's performance. No shift, not jumping ship with the Irish.
No, I'm not. I'm sticking with the Irish. I think they've still got that little bit of something about them. I mean, England, I was very, very impressed with, I have to be honest, and looking at that. This England side have stepped up in terms of where they were, even in the autumn internationals, but certainly compared to last year. The performances of the forwards were much better. I thought there was a much better balance in the backs than we've had for a while. Luther Burrell coming in there has made a big difference. Having two wingers and one full back also makes a big difference. So I'm looking at that and thinking that. The Welsh side, I'm a bit worried. Well, I'm not worried. I'm slightly relieved, should we say, that teams seem to be adapting to the way that Wales are playing. They're understood the way that Wales are playing, using their big runners, the wingers and the centres, and they're defending better against it. That makes Wales's task of winning this third Six Nations that much harder. And I honestly think that they didn't get enough points against the Italians. So, to me, Ireland still are the favourites. France, the problem with France is they were a bit flaky in that game against England. Yes, it was a great try at the end, but there were a number of areas in that game where realistically England should have buried the French, and they never did.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. Then the Irish at 11-2. So to recap then, for the first game of the weekend, we have Ireland to win at 8-13, to them to leading at half-time at 17-20. By a 1-5 point winning margin at 7-2, and recommendations for Jamie Heaslip and Rory Best in any time try scorers. In the England game, England to win on the handicap, which is 10-11, by 13 or more points, 6-5, and by 11-15 points on the winning margin live at 9-2. And in the final game of the weekend, Italy to cover a plus 20 point handicap against the French, France to win it by 11 to 12 points at 11-4, and a mention for Gael Ficou as an anytime try scorer. I think that covers it, and hopefully, Jeff, we've found the best bets.
I certainly hope so, and I think so. I think we were pretty close last week, apart from the Wales game. I think we'll be pretty close this week.
Jeff, thank you very much. I hope everyone enjoys watching the games this weekend, and fingers crossed he lands some bets.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.